It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. God Journey.
Yes, it is. It's back to back, Brad.
Yeah, I'm here for another one.
Back again. So cool. But you got to tell us a little bit about the movie, man. Is it in production now? They got the filming going and it's going to be out on Easter next year. Tell me what's going on. Because I get asked that everywhere I go now. Everywhere I go, how's the movie coming? How's the movie? I don't have any clue.
It's in progress.
Good.
It just is a whole bunch of hurry up and wait. Tons of work. It seems like with every person added, they cannot resist needing to put their little mark on it. It's like a whole bunch of new.
Gotta get my scent on the fire hydrant.
Yeah. And
that's what we're gonna call it, scent on the fire hydrant.
Yeah, that'll be great. It's interesting because it's like you have to sort through a whole. There's a whole learning curve that people have to kind of go through as they come on board. Because this really is not like anything else that they've done. The nice thing is that the primary studio execs and the lead producer I'm working with, they finally get that now. And so there isn't as much, you know, having to wrestle. It's sort of like there's more knowing looks of going like, well, it'll take a little while for this person to be able to get on board.
Yeah.
And so the challenge is how do you have an actual Hollywood group of people really at home and a deeply spiritual about God's story. Yeah. And you're just going like, that oil and water doesn't quite mix as you think. And so we're looking to be in production in November. It's had to be pushed back because I got a couple of key cast availability and we're locking all that stuff down right now. But I'm not really at liberty to.
Right, but you got key cast signed up. I mean, you got people.
We have key cast interested, not signed on the line. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of industry buzz as if it's already happened. I'm sitting there going, most meetings have never happened. So that's the biggest crazy thing is I got a bunch of congratulatory texts on, you know, a little while back, and I'm looking at all this stuff, you know, I'm getting all this email going like, this didn't happen. Did it happen? If it happened, then I'm not a part of it.
Nobody told me.
And then I rather urgent, like, what happened? I'm feeling out of the loop. It's like, there's no loop. It's that none of that happened. I'm just like, well, then how does this stuff get out there?
We're in a funny time, aren't we? Because everything is driven on the internet by clicks.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be true. It just has to look true enough that people will link to it and people, you can sell advertising on it.
It's disturbing.
It's that way about news. You see news stories, the headline, and you read the article.
It's not news.
And the headline doesn't
even.
Well, the headline doesn't even match the news. And what you've got is we need clicks. So we're doing the most provocative titles we can think of. Yes. Then there's no honesty left because it's all about money. And it just, oh. I'm going to withdraw from the internet myself.
But what you just said, it just feels like that is epidemic in our culture. There's no honesty left.
No.
When you look at what's happening in politics, you look at what's happening in business, and you just go like, oh my gosh, does anyone ever tell the truth anymore?
Everything is a machine to be manipulated. Everything, including people, audience. We manipulate those people to get their dollars, their clicks, their way. Everything is a manipulation.
That's the illusion, though.
Is what?
That everything is what you just said. None of it is.
No.
There just isn't a revolt yet. But none of it is.
I think people are too entertained to revolt. I tell you, with what has gone on in the last years of our government, with what's going on in the Middle East right now.
Bread and circuses.
If that's not enough to move a population to say, you people in Washington are all a bunch of crooks. I mean, I would go for a total anti-incumbency vote in the elections coming up.
Here, here.
Get rid of everybody.
Here, here.
This has not been hope and change. This has been despair and more of the same. More of the same building your power base, spending our money, promising people you'll do what they want, being unfair to everybody else. I just creeps me out.
Step back for that for just a moment. I don't want to take you off from where we're headed, but what – how do you, you know, from just perspective of Wayne, been on this journey for a while, how do you sort of interpret what's going on? Do you have a sense of a bigger perspective on that? I mean, when you look at, I don't know. Maybe you're old enough to know that there's other periods of time and culture where it was just as untruthful as now. This seems to be a crescendo. I'm not aware in my lifetime it being like this.
No, this seems to be a perfect storm of forces. Yeah. It does. Of internet accessibility, so of cable news channels, where the whole idea is to be provocative and gain audience, and the truth be damned. Who cares what's true? And even more, who cares what's right? Who cares what's right? No one cares. It's just what you can manipulate to get what you want next. And we've been caught up in stuff like that, where truth takes a back door to whatever is real and honest and genuine. And what do I think? Do I think it's worse than? Yeah, I think it's horrible. I think more people are involved in the horribleness of it because everybody wants a following. Everybody wants a best-selling book, a viral video of, you know, everybody wants, because there's money to be made if you can connect with one of these things. And it's the way to the American dream right now is to be a little bit disingenuous and a whole lot dishonest. And I'm pretty negative about the way the world's going. Really am. I look at what's going on in the Middle East right now with ISIS, and could this be a precursor to the end of the age?
Yes.
I mean, we're now getting to Hitler-like possibilities. I think if you lived in Hitler's day, you would have said that's got to be the Antichrist. This has got to be the end of the age, but it wasn't. So we don't really know when that happens. But when you look at what's aligning in the world, and even governments and business and the cahoots between the two, and what entertainment does,
disturbing.
It is incredible. But you know, here's my hope. I mean, I look at all that, and I just. To me, and I used to work with some bridge builders, took me to Washington stuff. I don't do that anymore because I don't think there's anybody there that's really genuine enough that really wants a common good solution for America. It's my party versus your party, my political gain versus yours, my news profession job. If people haven't read This Town, that book about Washington, I think every American ought to read that book. It is a powerful book about what's exactly going on. These same guys that fight like cats and dogs on news shows in the green room afterwards, make a business deal to do something together to make more money. It's all shtick. It's all show. It's all illusion. And while that's happening, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Now, if I wasn't – here's where I've been spending my time the last 2 years, working on Finding Church and just the stuff God's been doing in my life. He put a new creation in the world. The old creation isn't going to get there. It's just not. It's not like we're going to reform it. It's going to be – there's a new creation, and people who are giving themselves to that – and go back to our podcast last week. People who are willing to jump off the cliff and invest their life, put all their eggs in the basket of God's kingdom and not their own personal notoriety, their own whatever. I have great hope that in the growing darkness, the light becomes brighter.
Yep.
I have a growing hope. I'm so excited.
Isaiah 60, man.
About what I see happening in people. And the remember, we did that Shaq stuff for a while, and I was traveling around, and my room was full of Shaq celebrity kind of wacko people. And I mean, wonderful people, but they all had a manuscript in their wallet, and they're all going to pass it on to me.
Here's the next bestseller.
And they're there to bask in the glory that is the Shaq or whatever. I now am not in that space. I am getting with people all over the world, conversations that are excited about this unfolding reality of the new creation, that God has really made us something different. And to learn to live in that love, not how do we wield the powers of men so that we can do man's culture better, but live by a whole different way of thinking and breathing and living. And I'm excited as I can be about that.
This really is the zombie apocalypse. There's a whole bunch of walking dead out there.
I'm not into zombies, but I hear you, dude.
And there's a handful of very alive people that are very excited. I mean, that's, you know, just picking up where last week was, I look at this and I'm going like, I got some buddies that just, it's like they've come out of their system or are on their way out. And they are so alive inside right now.
Yeah.
It is a thrill because I'm just going like, ooh, that was costly. That will be costly, but that's alive.
Yeah.
And there's an excitement going like, okay, I don't like zombie stuff, but I do think the analogy is accurate.
When we come to the end of the world system stuff, even the religion part of system we made out of that, when people come to the end of that and open a door in their heart to something more real, that's all good.
Yeah.
That can really be good. Let me ask you for some help. I'd like you to think with me. We've had some talk in here the last couple of podcasts. I'm sure you listen to everyone endearingly, but we've had some discussion. Like, it started with a man who was honest enough to say, I've been through every religious hoop. I met Jesus way back there someday. His love captured my heart. And this is like 40 years ago. And then I ended up in every religious iteration known to man. I've tried everything to futility and emptiness. Even a lot of that house church, organic, even all that journey. He ends up now at 61 years of age. Marriage that he says is rocky at best. Job that may be ending soon. God doesn't make himself known to him anymore. He's just lost. Just lost, hungry for a connection. And what I loved about the honesty, and again, and the reason we're talking about this, let me just read you this from Lisa. Lisa put this on her blog. She said, I don't respond often, but I wanted to say that. I wanted to comment about the man who is despondent about his life and value to God. I think there are a number of us in varying states of what he describes so eloquently. Please do have a podcast or more addressing the issues you heard him raise. Though I don't feel as caught in the pit as he was describing, I still find myself struggling with some kind of unbelief in the different way God thinks than we humans do. I guess that's probably why you wrote He Loves Me, and I go back to that book quite a bit. Sometimes the old way just doesn't want to go away. It makes me feel hobbled when I see I'm still dragging around. So Lisa's at one of those points of, and I think it's that what we talked about in the last podcast, that two-year period, which it can be 2 months or 10 years. I don't know how long it is for people. But it's that thing between learning to let go of the way I've always done things and the way man thinks to do them and find your way into something more real. And yet the question from her, and then I got a response back from the original guy, which I don't have here, but he was saying, could God just in any way, you know, rattle something, make his love known to me? Why won't God do anything? If he loves me, if he cares, why doesn't he do anything? And I know that cry. I do know it. I think we've all been there. But I do think it's part of a process, and I and there's two dangers here. Here's what I want to talk to you about, because I'm going to use this. I'm going to use a metaphor for gravity. I got to tell you, most days I hate gravity. I hate the consequences of gravity. Overall, I like it. I like that my house is attached to the earth. I like that, you know, people aren't flying off the ground. There's valuable things
I'm with you.
But you know, when I drop the hammer, it actually falls on my toe.
Yeah, that doesn't feel so good.
I don't like gravity at all.
At that moment, when
I put my apple on the edge of the counter because I'm going to get a knife to cut it, and it rolls off, and boom. Not liking gravity a whole lot. There have been many times, actually, it's comical now. Almost, it's that stupid gravity. If we just didn't have gravity, but if we didn't have gravity, it'd be a nightmare. And I'm wondering, for people who are on this journey, is there, because God's not, I think the illusion is, I'll finish a sentence any moment here now.
It's a long one.
I can't find the starting point. But you know, if we're going to say, why can't God throw me a bone? I think I'm begging, I'm seeking, I'm giving up a bunch of stuff. I've lost everything. God, could you just throw me a bone? And to think how easy it would be for God to say, yeah, I could throw you a bone. Sure, I could give you a bless me, excited kind of emotive experience or a vision, or I could rend the heavens. But he doesn't. Is there something like, here's what I want God to help with. Is there something like gravity that's spiritual gravity, that God could do? Like, God could make the apple not fall off the counter, but that means everything else flies off the planet. Is there something about the way, I don't mean God's trapped by his own creation. I just mean, is there a spiritual gravity to inviting us into him that doesn't happen the way we want, but is more real because it doesn't?
Yeah, there's tons of that. I mean, I don't know how to say it in a pithy, profound, one little liner.
Well, that's required, obviously, in this day and age.
But the dynamic is that, you know what? There's laws of sowing and reaping, okay? And there is such a thing as being a good, godly farmer in life. Now, will God sometimes, it's like I've been sowing a whole bunch of bad decision fruit, okay?
Yeah.
I would love for none of that to grow. I would love for none of that to mature. I'd love for none of that harvest to come in.
I'd love no consequence from all that planting. Yeah.
But I think that makes this life whimsical, and there is no way to engage with some of the truth of what that is. Plus, it's like, well, then, is there any truth? And it's like, part of me is like, no, there are laws of sowing and reaping. And there is the empowering grace of God that can come in and help rectify things. But it doesn't mean I get, you know, God's grace does not mean, oh, I don't experience the bad consequences of things that I or others have done. I mean, we do live in a world that if there is such a thing as free choice.
Right.
If it is, if such a world exists, then it is possible for a human being or an entity to choose something that would be a negative outcome and not what God would want.
I hear that. I hear that. I agree with all of that. Yep.
And so if they can do that, and they do that, it's going to have actual outcomes that I'm not immune from. I have a, like in Job, there's a measure, there's a hedge, there's a measure of protection. There is. That's the good news. For those that love Jesus, there is a measure of protection. But the darn thing can be lifted. And I may not even be aware of that.
And that would seem capricious. I'm not sure that's the message of Job.
No, I don't think that's the message. Okay. But the reality is I think in the message of Job, Satan doesn't believe in the human heart and its love for God, whereas God does. And God's going, you know what? Your accusation is wrong. I know what's in his heart. He loves me, and it's not just for the goodies.
Right.
And God believes in that heart in Job. It hasn't yet manifest until the goodies are gone and the bad stuff is there. And Job has everybody's principles that don't work applied.
Right.
And he finally comes into a place of seeing this where it's like, I heard about you, but that's different than my knowing you and seeing you with my own eye. And you're just going like, Job went through a transformation that changed everything for Job, and yet there was nothing wrong with him.
To start with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Says God.
Yeah. But when you get to the sowing and reaping, here, I like all that, but if you back up a little bit, we go back to the sowing and reaping, because the first guy who wrote me who was in this pit, and he's been all these religious things for 30, 40 years, all with good heart, you know, we were talking about last week, you know, a passionate guy on the cutting edge of what God was doing,
and perhaps
gone to the seminars, read the books, you know, tried to make this work. None of it's worked for him, which I think we could all say, well, it's just human effort stuff. It's not going to work except for the guys who are going to be at the top of it selling real estate, you know, for it. That's what it works for. It doesn't work for the normal person who's down in the range. But is the answer him? Well, you just planted bad stuff, obviously. So you got to suffer with it for a while. How do we bring grace? Because I don't think that's the answer. Because I the one of the things I want to help say to people.
I was just talking about spiritual gravity. I was not talking about the specific implementation of this guy's
right. But I want to get spiritual gravity into that kind of circumstance. Because the one option is, which is the cry of the heart. Well, if God really loved me, he just invade and change everything. And that doesn't happen. So I'm just, then the other side of that, the other bad road to go down is that some, I'm just a horrible, creepy person that God doesn't love or God doesn't exist. Or, you know, they have thoughts that are unworthy of themselves. And people who have that spiral into, I'm damaged goods, God's never going
what
to.
What a worm I am.
And yeah. That road is as bad as the other road.
Yep.
Somewhere, I want to help these people, and I've got another email I want to read you in a moment that I think helps point us that direction, but I want to help people just not go there. Well, God should, that God didn't give me all the goodies means that God's not who he says he is or doesn't love me, or I'm just a creepy thing that's planted all bad stuff so God can't. God's grace, and I'll go back to my 2 years we talked about in the last podcast. I had for 20 years with, I think, pretty good intentions. Uh-huh. But very bad methodology.
Uh-huh.
Tried to build for myself an expression of Christian community and had a lot of right principles,
right,
but not the transforming reality of Christ among us. So God unwinding me from that and the consequences of that took a good 2 years of extreme pain. I would say another 5 to 7 years of actually learning how to live differently, learning how to walk differently. How to not do, how to trust, how to rely. I love that 1 John language. We have come to know and come to rely on the love God has for us. That is a process. It was a journey.
Yeah.
How do we help people realize that now grace can find you even in the midst of all your bad crop?
Yeah.
And help you deal with it
while
it invites you into a better crop and a better kingdom? Because I think that's what's going on.
Okay, this is not meant to be a simplification, but you do look at the whole thing. What we're talking about is transformation. At the end of the day, it's how do I go from where I'm at to this thing that I think is the life of God that I want but don't have?
Right.
How do you go from the old creation to, quote, the new creation?
Yep.
Okay. I look at the whole bit of the transformation of that little caterpillar into a butterfly. You just go like, I'm sorry, the little furry many-legged thing is nothing like the winged thing. It's just not. That's a total different change of nature. When it kind of spins its cocoon and it's in its little chrysalis dead form, that looks like serious entombed death. I couldn't declare that it's not. It looks like death.
Yep.
Real death.
And the caterpillar is dying to itself.
Right. Trying to help it from outside at a moment like that destroys the transformation. That seems very unkind to those who desire to help. Okay?
And to those who want help.
Yeah.
Get me out of my prison. Yeah. I see you out there.
It seems incredibly unkind to not assist in a moment like that when someone says, assist me.
Yeah.
And you're just going like, I can, but I can't.
Yeah.
What I do know, the positive things I do know is if that butterfly somehow doesn't learn to exert its developing strength so as to be able to get out, same thing for a chick getting out of the egg. If it doesn't develop the strength required to break through from that old existence into its new existence, it doesn't have the required strength to actually live the new existence. And that's not a, I'm going to do it and God isn't. That's the partnership of, you know what, I am involved. And so I think to some degree, it's really hard to tell someone, just die to yourself. And yet at the same time, as this new life is happening, you're involved. Those seem contradictory, but that's gravity. They're involved. I am still involved in the new creation. I'm not in that apart from him old life. But I am involved with him in the new life that he is begun. I can't start that. I can respond to it. And there's a lot of people that I think are in that disappointed place of, why can't God just do for me? And I'm going like, I get that. That is so valid. The words are true. I don't have a simple answer for why that is. I do know that, you know.
But it certainly isn't ignore them.
No.
Because they got to come out of that cocoon by themselves. That's not where you're going.
No.
I hope.
No, it's not where I'm going. But the truth is, you know, it says in James about the double-mindedness.
Yeah.
Let that person not think that they're going to receive anything. I go like, man, that's a harsh verse. Yeah. That's a gravity verse. So, Lord, hey, unite my heart to fear your name. I aren't double-minded. How do I not be double-minded when, in fact, I am?
Right.
That disappointment voice, that's part of a double-mindedness that he's saying, look, if I'm going to seek after God, I need to believe that he is a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. I mean, that stuff's in there. So I'm going like, I've got to relate to that.
I hear the objection. I've been doing it for 45 years in 16 different ways, to which I would still say, doesn't negate the truth. It's time now to do it in a way that bears the fruit of the kingdom.
Keep going.
Listen to this story from Gina, and I love this story, and I love her conclusion. She said, what I've learned is very simple. She said, my heart broke for the man in the email. What I have learned is very simple. The way we interact with people in the world around us flows from the idea we have of God. Our view of God may many times is twisted, and untwisting it isn't always an easy process, but it is a process worth the struggle. That's that cocoon time. I came to God in college. I felt deeply in love with him. This love eventually caused me to be kicked out of my house. I lost everything, but he was so very near and dear to me through the time. Over time, I started on the performance treadmill. About the time I was turning 50, I was plunged into the deep. A fellowship of 20 years was ripped to shreds. This meant I lost every friend because we'd cut ourselves off from everybody else. My husband and I were completely alone. The sorrow and loneliness at that time was almost suffocating. I had nowhere to turn, so I turned to Abba in a way I've never known. And through the painful process, I came to know him as friend. And this friend took me on a journey to teach me of his love. First came the shack, through the shack, I found the God journey. Read, he loves me. And so you don't want a church anymore. All these books were confirmations of what God was already saying inside of me. And I can say now, 7 years down the road, I'm not sure it was the train God wanted me riding out of that situation, but I'm thankful for where we are now. Living loved in him. Free to love him, finding freedom to save others. We love out of our view of God. I had such an impoverished view of God, so I served as a slave. I did the right things out of fear of punishment, and my actions were so void of love and generosity. But now I know love calls to love. Love doesn't calculate. Love doesn't give to get. Love doesn't have to earn. Love is repaid by love. Love begets love. I could go on and on, but I can say if God can set someone who is as spiritually arrogant as I was, the only one who had the light to share, one who had a lot of pain, one who had a lot of the plain old yuck factor in my life, he can set any one of you free from thinking we have arrived. To let him continue to teach us about himself, to change our wrong thinking about him and scripture. And here is where we start to cease from striving and finding a peace and rest we could never have imagined. Now, that's a great story.
Yeah, that is.
Here, 50 years of pain and arrogance and all that.
Yeah.
Now I want to take you to her first paragraph, because this is, I think, the conclusion that speaks to this gravity thing. She says this, and I pray, she's praying for the man, I pray he will continually to allow God to walk him through the valley of life, finding how God can woo us into knowing, deep knowing, how loved we are, and how if we let it, and this is the phrase, sorrow and loss can be a great mentor. Not a punisher.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that speaks to the gravity. When we're in that tight spot and nothing seems to be working, my marriage sucks, all my religious sensibilities have come unraveled in one way or another, I'm about to lose my job, I've got nothing here, and I'm saying God doesn't care, he's not even going to throw me a bone. The fact is, I think in this world, sorrow and loss, if we let it, can be a great mentor.
Jesus, sinless Son of God.
I'm glad you went Son of God.
Hello.
Yeah.
Was a man acquainted with sorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, hello. So that's the equation, the religious equation that you deserve this. I mean, you did this and it's your harvest. And you, I mean, you know what? No, that religious equation is not accurate when applied to Jesus, a man acquainted with sorrow, as if he brought it on himself. And so the dynamic is like, it's part of this fallen experience of life. And it's not all awful.
No, and I think we've both talked about, we came into this way we live now through great pain, betrayal, rejection.
Getting pushed.
Hurt. of God at times feeling like he's a million miles away.
Yeah.
But to realize that the sorrow, the pain of those 2 years to 7 years having, I don't look at that as, well, just because bad people betrayed me. It was actually a way of thinking about God and living for 20 years that had built a way of thinking in Wayne that caused the suffering to be worse than it would have been.
Even that God just, if can't he just throw me a bone? There is an expectation that is to be dissed. On that side of that statement, I just go like, you know what? That's not said as an accusation, but it's just that too. Yeah. I mean, I do know that the pain of going, gosh, I'm disappointed in God. Being honest enough with yourself and with your whole religious background to confess that, and not, you know, declare yourself the Antichrist. Just like, I'm disappointed in God. I don't understand.
Right.
I'm being honest, God.
Right.
I don't think God dings that person at all.
At all.
I agree.
Absolutely. Totally.
And so I'm not going to ding him, but I do want to say to that person going, I having been one, there is a place past that God will take you that changes that moment where I look back and I'm going like, gosh, I wasn't yet in a place of surrender to what I was carrying there. I don't know that I can totally define, oh, just do this. I don't have a just do this.
No, we don't.
But I do know what it is to have been delivered from that little, if I just would. I don't have a just anything anymore to tell someone other than, you know what? There is a place of surrender to his work that accepts God's terms and his time, as opposed to I'm negotiating for those.
Yeah.
And our disappointment is where I'm kind of negotiating, and I'm going like, I had to learn I had to be helped by his grace to let that go too.
And isn't one of the lies of religion, if you get things right, then your life will be blessed? So if your life sucks, it's because you're doing something wrong. Instead of, this is a pretty broken world, and a lot of stuff sucks. And even things that I've created the own pit of my life by doing things for God that didn't turn out to be so much for him, they were more for me. And I end up in this place of, God, throw me a bone. I think this speaks to what you just said. If we had the sense, or at least the willingness to at least suspend our doubts otherwise, that if this Father really, really loves me, then he's changing me and inviting me into that space in the best possible way he can. And if that was to throw a vision in the heavens so I would know I'm loved, he would do it. But if he's not doing it, that's because there's a deeper work he's doing in our heart to invite us into that space. And it's that surrender that says, okay, God, I am going to let you do this your way. But I'm not going to wake up every morning, oh, look what a horrible person I am, or what a horrible person God is. I'm going to wake up saying, God, I'm lost, and I only have you. And I'm just going to keep turning my heart, trusting. See, and I wish through my 2 years, I would have woken up that way. I mostly woke up angry at my co-pastor and angry at life. But if I could have woken up, and somehow behind what I said when I woke up, behind it was, I have no place else to go. I really don't have any place else except say, God. And I did even say, this is one of my prayers I prayed. If I really am the independent, rebellious person they're saying I am, reveal that to the world. I don't care. Let the whole town know. Because if I am that guy, I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
I want to be yours. I want to know you as you really are.
And you need to know if, in fact, you are that guy when, in fact, you're going like, I don't think I'm that guy.
Right.
God's got to bust through that, too.
Yeah. But if I am that guy, it's okay. If I'm not that guy, now I look back at that painful season, and I've had some sense. It's not just one bit of that. We've had incredible pain since. But now if pain is the mentor, if pain is, okay, there's something awry here. Either the brokenness of the world is just getting on my case, in which case, God, be with me through it. It may be that I've planted some really bad seeds, and some of those seeds are coming to bear right now. God, bear that with me. Show me how to untangle the consequences of my own selfishness. That's a good prayer.
Yeah.
Or, God, if I can't see you in this spectacular way yet, in the briefest of glimpses, let me see your fingerprints today so I can live in. And it really is that instead of, well, until X happens, I'm not going to know I'm loved, but I am loved.
See,
I'm going to let this journey unfold for a few years and see where it sorts out.
I think the whole bit of, you know, does God love me? Is God loving me? It's like, I don't know that there's a moment that it's possible that he doesn't.
Right.
Okay. I can feel like that, but that's not correct math. And I'm not just, well, you got to do the math right, brother. Got to have your faith confession right. It's like, no, is 2 plus 2 4? Is there ever a time that 2 plus 2 is 4 is not 4? Is there ever? No. By definition of what it is. That's true. How can I look at my life anchoring down, God loves me, period?
Yeah.
I know we got to get convinced of that, and we don't start there. I do realize that is a revelation that comes to us that I have to receive. I can't make it happen. I can't just confess it to honesty. But once there's something there, locking it down and that being the lens that I look through changes a thousand conclusions about what I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, gosh, that is so helpful when I finally locked that down. My Father loves me. He is loving me. He's loving me right now in the midst of this that would seem to declare to me he doesn't.
Right.
He does. So how would I feel differently? Same circumstances, same moment. How would I feel if that was true? Because it is true.
Right.
I'm not going to enjoy the hard things any better. But guess what? The one difference I found for me is I don't feel alone.
And that's a, if you're waiting for some spectacular revelation that doesn't come, then you will feel alone. You'll keep feeling alone.
If that's the requirement.
Yeah. It, once you give that up, okay, yeah. I don't have to have that. I just need you to come to me in the best way possible for me. And even if you have to, even if you can, okay, I don't feel it, but you know what? Scripture seems to say it. At least Wayne and Brad seem to say Scripture seems to say it. At least the cross seems to speak to it. So why don't I just take the next few years to live in the assumption that I'm loved and see what it produces 3 years out?
But it is the act of accepting that as true. It's not the I'm going to confess it till I believe it. It's not the self-talk, how do I convince right. myself? Because that is an exhausting, empty thing.
It is.
But there is the reality that you just go like, you know what? Jesus' death on the cross, I'm not sure it requires any other activity to prove that. I think there's the question of, do I accept that? And once I do, I think everything does change. If I'm putting up another hurdle, I mean, here's the gravity part. Does God need to prove that some other way? I don't think he does. Might he? I'm sure he does. Right. But does he have to? I don't know. For me, if I need him to, I may find myself very frustrated when my apple rolls off the counter.
Right. But I think it would even go to this. If it would be best for me, he would.
Yes.
So that
is
not,
who he is.
Yeah. So that he's not says there's a better way to get to what's broken in you.
Yeah, and that's just not that's not a bunch of happy thoughts, as if they're just puff pastry.
I hope it makes sense of the brokenness of the world. My dad right now. Let me just tell you this. I was with my dad a couple weeks ago, and my mom is probably dying right now. She's in a nursing home. She's been to the hospital a couple of times. She's losing a lot of her capabilities mentally as well as physically. My dad gets up every day and he goes down and spends the entire day with her. He feeds her. Sometimes she can't hardly even talk to him. I watch my dad, who's been a farmer all his life, the World War II vet, tenderly feed my mother or talk her down out of some fear that's kind of growing in her heart while she's laying there. I've always respected my dad. My dad's been one of the best spiritual mentors my life could have had. And when I was a pastor, he was one of our elders and one of the guys that wouldn't say much, but when he said something, it really counted. And for the last 20 years, I've been visiting when we go up there and visit them. And I've been at, Dad, what's God showing you these days? God's not showing me anything. It's kind of went into retirement. And the last time I was there, as we were talking, he said, you know what? He talked about something God said to him that morning as he woke up. And he talked about what this season is for them, that God is drawing both he and my mom into a greater place of dependency on him. Even though he said, I can't see it in your mom. I can't see that it's happening. I trust that it is. I trust that God said it is. I know for me, and he started to tear up. He said, I have not been closer to God in the last 25 years than I am right now.
Wow.
I mean, his life was easier 5 years ago,
sure.
Retirement, a beautiful mountain community.
Yeah.
He's saying now in the midst of watching my mom die, his wife of 66 years going home every night to a lonely house and being alone,
yeah.
Going back the next day after day. And I said, man, this has got to be tough. He said, it's the hardest thing I've ever done other than being on the front in World War II. He said, nothing ever be as bad as that. It always comes back to that.
That's a benchmark.
Never going to complain if it's not worse than that and it isn't worse than that. But he said, just the sweetness of, I wouldn't trade what God's doing in my heart right now to get out of this experience. Mm. And I think that's
some wisdom.
That's hard for us to understand because somehow the whole religion thing got us, if we're being blessed, we've got good circumstances. And there's a lot of good circumstances in my life. I won't say there isn't. My marriage has never been better. I love where we've landed, Sarah and I, the people that are around our life. My life's in a very pleasant place right now in a lot of ways. That's just true. But I look at this growing dependency that Dad has in this time, and we're walking through this with him, and it's hard. There's no set of circumstances here that's easy or fun. It's all brutal. And they're 5 hours away, which even makes it more difficult. But for my dad to look at me and say, I have never been closer to God than I am right now. And that's
awesome.
That to me, that's the joy of gravity, is not that your apple falls and breaks, but that in the midst of a broken world and our disappointments, there's a reality in God that invites us to a space that's bigger than all of that. And that's far more rewarding than maybe whatever externals we're begging God to have, fix, or change, which is maybe the Job story gets to that same point. There's something about knowing him.
You know, Paul talks about this momentary light affliction. Well, if you track his life a little bit, I'm sorry, some of those momentary light things seem really extreme.
Stoning, shipwrecks, and the heap.
You're just going like the agony that he went through. And he was told personally by Jesus standing in front of him, Paul, great news, you get to suffer for me. Woohoo!
Yeah.
You're just going like, I'm sorry, my circumstances pale in comparison. But I look at that, he goes, this momentary light affliction doesn't even remotely compare to the eternal weight of glory. I do think that there is something of a transformed life and perspective that sees these things with the kind of language your dad is saying.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, it's not fun, but it's intimate. You know, I'm closer to Jesus now out of necessity than I was not going through this. And when your hope is in a person and the enjoyment, the satisfaction is pulled from the relationship with that person, that's a stormproof life.
Yeah.
That works. If you're married to an outcome of blessing that you want, I don't know what to say to that person, because my life experience is more found in the, as I lay hold of him, he lays hold of me. My circumstances get squeezed all the time. Sometimes they're wonderful. Sometimes they're really crappy. Same God, same journey, and he's loving me in each and every one of those moments.
Yeah. So you are loved. If you're in places of brokenness and pain, whether it's consequences for things, brokenness, whatever,
actions of others.
Sorrow and loss can be a great mentor to take you to a space where your heart gets to know him more. And you get to live differently in the world in a way that's freer and able to engage people in a way that's life-changing. And I think that's the hope.
It's all about our transformation.
Traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.